try and get through this as quick as possible. Well, welcome everyone. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Say that with a smile.
I know.
Right.
It was too bright. It's already been a crazy year. Yeah, I was, after the start of the new year, I was told that we're migrating to a new accounting system, so that's making things really exciting.
Oh, boy.
Well, now you'll feel the little
game. I know.
Good luck.
We're just laughing inside.
Yes, I'm laughing. You can feel my pain and share.
That's a good way to start the new year.
Well, you moved to a new office, too, right?
We moved to a new office, yeah. Beautiful new office.
Gorgeous.
We're on Alton and Barranca in the...
Only 2 blocks from my house.
Oh, wow. That's really nice.
Yeah.
That's way.
Good.
Good morning.
Hey, Heidi.
I'm waiting till you put a, you know, like a lunch room, so I can go over there and have...
Well, Bodcon has a coffee cafeteria, but we can't go in there.
Oh, you can't?
They kick us out, yeah.
Yeah, I can sneak in.
So, I think it'll be a quick meeting today, but this is our kickoff meeting, obviously, for the start of the new year and maybe closure of last year, but I think the focus is kind of throw out ideas for DPRC goals and what we want to try and achieve, both from the county side and our side, to kind of get aligned so we can focus on the right ideas and move forward. I think the big topic of discussion this year is going to be the building code update. That's probably going to be what we're going to be mostly focusing on.
And elements?
Yep, yeah, exactly, of course, yeah.
But we're not done with the zoning code.
No, that's, and we'll get an update, but that's coming out pretty soon here, but I think we'll get that across the finish line. But anyway, before we dive into that, let's do a little bit of business. The approval of the minutes of December 5th, I know a few people weren't there, you guys missed out because it was a great event as usual. And Sharon and Larry, you did an awesome job. We got cool ornaments that you guys missed out on too. Sorry. My wife loves those, by the way.
Oh, good. Larry, say that.
You want my little Christmas tree in my office every year?
He does.
Yeah.
He has a
new
Kerosene tree.
I do. It's got like 5 different ornaments on it now.
Yep.
Oh, that's good.
It's very nice.
Yep. Any comments, questions, motion to approve?
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Before we dive into goals, Larry, and do you want to dive into your stats here?
You can dive into whatever you like, Chairman.
Watch it.
Basically, we're just a little bit down because it's the Christmas month on like numbers, but I can say, even though the numbers aren't reflecting it, I will just put out there our wait times are extremely high. So, especially starting in January, I know these are Decembers, we're just kind of giving you guys all a heads up. It's like we're half staffed right now, but everyone's in training, and that's kind of across the board, so it will impact some of our times. Luckily, it was slower, like, because Christmas time is a slower time of the year. But as far as, you know, this permit submittals, it's just the numbers are down, thank goodness, for us to help us with our, you know, balancing LMS if there's another priority. We haven't really got that many complaints about the wait times, which I was surprised because I'm anticipating that. But we've just been trying to be as positive as possible, helping people get their things done, and then just, you know, pretty much selling that it'll be self-service. Well, I lied because we do have a couple of negative surveys, but I think it was about the wait times. Yeah, there was a couple, and I'll get more details on those because I'll be honest, I just am looking at this for the first time this morning. I've just been very LMS, so, but we haven't missed our turnaround time. That's what's really, I think the bottom line is that we're really still hitting our turnaround times, and I think that's just the kudos to the team, everybody. Even with the
Hello, this is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon. Mike Recupero.
Okay, just a moment.
So that's kind of all I got for you guys this morning. I will get back to you guys on where the very dissatisfied are coming in from, but I'm sure it's to do with our wait times.
What's the difference in the weighted on the trend lines on the back page or between 2017 and 2018? What do you think, that's just by volume? is what's driving them. Not that it's significant, but.
Well, no, I really truly believe it's because I've got four people when I have usually six or seven at the counter. So I know that's increasing, that's just the front lines. And then even our flagship support is, you know, they're being pulled into the LMS training a little bit as well. Planning's still pretty the same because they always have a dedicated person out there every day. But as far as, I think that's really the biggest thing. But I am interested in, when I have this many dissatisfied calls, I want to see those before I come to you guys. And I apologize because I got this as I was walking in here. So I will get back to you on that. But my guess is it's the wait times.
How long is the training going to last? Is that over several months? Or?
It's a month.
So, yeah. So the next couple months, it should go back down again.
Yeah. And then everybody's going to be doing everything electronically too. So really, their check-ins will be quick because the minute they walk in, they'll be creating an account.
Got it.
So you know, our wait times will be right away. So,
So I was going to add, like Larry says, because of transition, the waiting would be long after LMS launch because of a learning and training and customers coming in the counter and trying to show them. So like any other computer system, it's a soft landing.
Right.
We don't have that.
And my notes from the team that put the stats together, they're like wait times due to LMS. I mean, so that's basically. But the thing is that I want to keep it positive because it's just wait times for training for a system upgrade. It's not directly related to LMS. It's just like with any system improvement, you have to train your staff. So it's more like training to improve services versus.
Also, you may have dissatisfaction because, let's say, if you submit your plans last week and it's due 2 weeks from now, you don't have apps. Mm-hmm. There's no LMS because they didn't log in. So that transition of deal with that.
It becomes a manual, the old-fashioned manual, something.
So they would be somehow they would confuse, and so. Mm-hmm. We will see some of those unhappy customers. Maybe we try to help them out and train them, do whatever we can. But obviously, it's not normal.
Sure.
But
so. Yeah.
Again, positively, if you look at our numbers for the review times, we're still doing great on still meeting our turnaround times, even with all that. So again, I know there's some negative there, but it's like again, always trying to not downplay the negative. I know the wait times are bad, but the thing is the more you do online, your wait times aren't really impacted.
But the
customer service, I'm very proud to say that PlanCheck, planning, everybody's still leading, you know, the turnaround times. We're not at 100%. We're actually in a, you know, more reasonable, like 99 or 98, but I'm saying it's still really positive.
No, the numbers that we've always seen consistently seem to be really good numbers. It's not, and it's expected in the transition to a new system to have, you know, a little blip here.
So if you guys are interested, I'm happy to bring back what exactly the details of these surveys, but my guess is they're wait times. But
I would say if it's not wait time, I'd be curious.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Bibi, how about on your side? How are things?
I think we're able to maintain our turnaround times. Mm-hmm. One of the only, if we had any delays, it might have been around the holidays, just making sure people were there if we needed to be there. But we don't have a large volume of permits right now, so that's helped us a lot because we have at least one of our planners dedicated full-time to LMS, pretty much, and that's Cameron. Also, Overly and Matthew have been helping out a lot in terms of the LMS process as well. So they're prepared, hopefully, for this transition to happen. We're going to have a builders meeting on Thursday or a conference call, and we'll be talking about some of the impacts we expect as the transition rolls out. So, for example, apps will be in kind of a read-only mode on Friday the
18th.
So she'll talk about that, and we'll talk about timing and how. So that means no issuances on that Friday, and no stamping from our perspective. So we are coordinating our consultant teams that if there are any permits that are close to being approved, that we try to get them done for that date. And same thing if there are extended plan checks or submittals that are going to be high priority for the builders, that they could get those in ASAP so we can meet that Friday date. I don't know how significant Friday will be. We don't have a lot of issuances or stamping on that day. But if there is an emergency that arises, at least people are aware So we'll be talking about that on the voter meeting and how we're kind of offsetting. And we still have our rubber stamp, so if we need to do a inspection for it, we still have that. We ordered our ink pad because ours was dry. But yeah, we're preparing and coordinating to make sure that that runs smoothly.
When is the voter call?
It is on Thursday.
So tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow. Oh, the day's gone quick. It's gone by so quickly. Yeah, let me see if I have it on. We have it. Oakley just rescheduled it for tomorrow at. Okay, it's not on there for some reason. It's not on my Apple. It's not synced up yet. But we do have it. I'm sorry. No, oh, yeah, it's tomorrow. I'll get you that time. She sent out the email yesterday, so I'll double check to make sure you're on that distribution. You can already send you a draft agenda as well, just kind of to hopefully get people's attention that they might want.
So if, just in the interest of planning for the next year, I'm kind of curious to get feedback of any sort of themes you guys are seeing or even, you know, like the code update that's coming or planning area 3 that may be imminent for Ranch Mishra, those kind of things that, or even some of the issues that you saw with some of the builder applications that may, you know, any advice or tips that you guys can give us that will help us move into the new year. I love feedback from everyone, all departments, whether it's inspections, attending, if there are key issues that jumped out of you. And then, you know, the other thing that I think jumps out is how we're going to plan for the code update, because I'm sure we're going to get an influx of applications and, you know, and how that transition is going to occur. I think that's going to be a big topic of the year. So any ideas that you guys have or any feedback would be great before we jump into the goals for this year. Hey, Jim.
So Jim, one thing that Shane and Khalid are interested in is a PA2 kind of lessons learned in-house internal meeting. So we'll be having that within the next couple weeks, and after that I can share, you know, whatever comes out of that meeting. It's going to address the range of topics, you know, from getting QMPs, the ROMP through building commits and grading issues or what have you, and strategies embarked on.
That'll be great. Because I'm sure Ranch Mishra will be very interested, along with the builders, to, as they plan it, go into planning area 3 to, you know, to focus on those issues. I know a big issue that I've been running into in multiple agencies, and I know we kind of work through it, I think, here on the walls, but I think we've solved it here, but I'm just seeing a common theme throughout the whole industry that walls are a hyper focus throughout every agency right now, where we were about a year ago. Trying to solve the problem and how we were issuing permits and, you know, what was a standard detail versus a non-standard detail. I might come to you, Hadi, for some advice on how I can deal with some of these other building officials on those issues. And I think it's also really important to note on the code update is that the state legislature also passed the bill that allows building permits starting now.
12 months,
which is
we've been doing it anyway informally. I mean, we've been granting that actually some of the builders,
right?
12 plus.
Actually. You're the only one doing that, huh?
Yeah. The one that was in this.
Yeah. How about you, Satinder? Any issues with inspections? Any themes that you pick up from last year that you want to carry through? Advice to this year?
Actually, all the builders in the ranch area, they're getting, they know what we want. And everything is coming out good. I don't see any issue. And we were slow last couple of months, but we're going to be picking up. And even though I have one guy resigned, even out of state, and we are in the process of filling this position, plus another person, inspector, he verbally gave me his resignation after March. She's gonna be gone.
Yeah.
I should not say that. And we're gonna have to fill two positions.
Are you, so with that, those positions being filled, are you gonna kind of shift anyone around from whether it's
we are doing board that, or? We have one guy, consultant guy on board mm-hmm. to cover the job which one guy already left. And in March by that, hopefully we're gonna have two guys on the board.
Okay. But you don't have plans to shift people around to different regions or areas?
We tried that due to MFS, we put it on hold.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Okay. That. Good. Richard, anything?
So this coming year, planning, all our projects are controversial still. We got a new rezone in North Pleasant. Community already blew up on that. We have a potential senior living in Kodo. Community already blew up on that. So a lot of controversial projects on our end. On the advanced planning side, there's a lot of housing policy that we're following. So a lot of state legislature like proposals. So that can have huge impacts on planning and housing development. So I follow those pretty closely. Other than that, just our zoning code and a couple other policy items. But housing's gonna be a big issue for the next couple of years. We're gonna hire our consultant to start working on our housing element towards the end of this year, and that housing numbers come out next, probably towards the end of next year. So we'll get our RENA count, which is the regional housing allocation, basically, on how many units we have to build. And now there's more pressure to build those units, so we'll have to figure out what we can do to get people to actually build units now. There is a chance that people get penalized for not building these units, so we're following a lot of legislator items that are really pushing these numbers. So.
Just so you know, a bit of advice, less fees, cheaper housing. That's all I know. And reduced times for construction. That's and plan checks.
Higher density homes.
Yeah, that's what we're kind of thinking too, just because there's nowhere else to
go. Tiny homes.
Tiny homes.
Yeah.
And lower fees.
That's parking.
Add to the fix not.
Yeah, like some of the numbers, so we have an annual progress report that comes out in April to the board. So every year it's reported to the state how many units we're building for every income category. And we haven't built anything under above moderate at all last year or the year before. So those numbers always get highlighted to the state that we're not building anything that's affordable. And under moderate is still really high income categories, like 100 something thousand. So we're not building anything that's affordable at all. The only ones we have are in the ranch. Besides those units, we haven't built anything else in the rest of the county that's unincorporated. So those always get highlighted every time we submit that we're not doing.
Is there analysis of and an understanding of the value of land and how much land costs? And that's
yeah.
why.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's at the crux of the problem. Is like, how do you make it affordable to build?
Yeah, and that's our task basically. If we do have to enforce these numbers, like how are we gonna get these numbers without changing the price of land? So the only like density, parking reduction, more reductions basically,
right.
To get those numbers.
Yeah.
I think land cost goes with density, but they give you 100 per acre. Acre is $10 million.
I know, that's what it's an issue that we all have to try to figure out.
You can't catch up with that.
Preview, if we want to get to the goals, that should be one of our goals this year, is to help the county with that formula of how to get attainable housing.
Yeah, I think last.
Affordable is what Richard's talking about. That's what gets highlighted.
Yeah.
So let's talk about both.
Yeah.
The last year, because there are homes that aren't in the affordable range that could still be attainable to a big chunk of population that's left behind.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not even hitting our moderate category. We're only hitting the above moderate. So, but last year we did do a quick list. I think I worked with Jay a little bit on what these overall broad ideas we had. I think the first issue might bring that back again on kind of defining what those goals are.
No, that'd be great. I think it's a great, because that's impacting all of us, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about affordability in our state.
But in the field of construction, because also that's a cost. If you builders decide or thinking of some kind of creative fast tracking to fabrication, something faster and low cost construction.
Well, when I worked at RSI, we did do that, but it turned out it wasn't as cost effective as you would think. And that was in part maybe the methodology and how they were doing it, because they had their own internal framer that was building this. And I think what led to the issue was it got out of standard industry practices and to the point where you weren't even using nominal dimensions anymore for construction, and it became a little difficult to build. And then as a result, it wasn't as cost effective. I think the problem we have in California, maybe in other states too, is that once you isolate yourself into this prefabrication world, you're kind of pushing out other trades, and you're not becoming as competitive when you're trying to either bid, or some people just simply won't bid to you because you're working with your own framer, and so it becomes a little more complicated. There's issues that come with it, I guess is the best way to put it. But it's funny because we've been building the same way for 200 years. So there's definitely ideas out there. People are doing it all over the place. But now I think it's a lot of that thought is going on the back burner for now, our strategy for meeting the new energy. That's a new battle at hand.
There was a information piece put out many years ago by BIA, kind of like, you know, the MSRP sticker you see on new cars, and it showed the impact of permitting fees and entitlement time, the impact of the bottom line of the home price, and it was pretty astonishing.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a multiplier in there. It's not just we have an extra $1,000 fees. It turns into a lot more than that.
Sure. Yeah, and there's plenty of articles out there that highlight the fact that just in the state of California alone, we're paying, you know, on average, anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 more in fees than any other state. And you know, that's just the price of being in the state of California. But there, you can see statistics all over the place on that. But it doesn't help the situation, like you said. We're in one of the most desirable places to live in the world, and now we're getting less and less land is available. It's, you know, that's an equation we have to solve. I think it's a good point. We need to, as a committee here, work together to see if we can come up with some creative ideas, because there's a lot of creative people at the table.
Yeah, one thing that I thought interesting that just happened in the city of Minneapolis, a lot of planners just heard about it, is that they got rid of their single family zones, which is unheard of, right? So they're allowing 3 units per every single family zone now, which we only have 2, ADU in the main house. Mm-hmm. They're allowing 3 units now, so that's like super progressive, and it's in Minneapolis. Like, no one thought Minneapolis would be something that progressive. Mm-hmm. They also reduce, they have parking maximums now in certain areas, so if you're within transit, you can't require more parking than whatever number it is. So they're super progressive, and they're in the middle of, you know, Midwest, and they're doing these really progressive planning ideas. And I kind of like shook the planning world, like they're the first city that did that, got rid of their single family zones. So if they could do it, there's gonna be a lot of other cities that we're looking at that now.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Wish we could just wave a wand and add that one word that you added that's so key. It's transit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Transit stuff and parking really challenging to the density.
Yeah. Yeah. That state legislation is back on the board again, where if you're within a quarter mile, it's automatic, like 4 stories with no parking requirements again, if you're within a transit corridor.
Jesus.
So it's back again, but I don't know how far it will go. But it was there last year, but it didn't make it through like the assemblies, but it's back.
Interesting. Well, do we want to jump into goals?
Well, let's just continue this conversation,
yeah.
Maybe. So I would suggest, Chairman Paulus, that we make one of our goals to talk about both affordable and attainable housing, and how there are state and local initiatives that are trying to address the problem that Richard has brought up, that there just isn't enough housing being built, and especially in the range that it helps promote a robust economy, that it doesn't just take high-end housing to help our economy, it takes housing for workers at every level. And so affordable housing with a capital A is something that the county is going to be wrestling with, I imagine, but also attainable housing, which is just another word for that lower end new homes, housing. So how do we do that? I was the moderator of a panel for ULI and here in Orange County a couple of months ago, where we talked about some attainable housing solutions, and my role is to kind of set the table. And so I did a PowerPoint of some of the issues. I'd be glad to, maybe if we set aside one of our meetings to talk about this issue,
that'd be great.
Bring that PowerPoint. Just to give you a highlight of a couple of key things. I gotta remember, it's been a couple of months. It's shocking how, what the income level is that's required just to buy the lowest end house in Orange County right now. It's shocking the percentage of people that can afford that house, the lowest end house. And so that puts everybody else into the renting game. And it's shocking how much the average rent in Orange County costs. So there's only so much we can do in the greenfield areas like the ranches. It's kind of it's also, I think the DPRC kind of spends our time on the new home greenfield realm that maybe we can help staff with some strategies on the islands also. And you know, a big part of it is really getting people engaged in the idea that density doesn't mean those people, because that's the bugaboo that gets NIMBYs so upset is, well, if it's three homes on a single family lot, that's gonna be those people. Who are those people? They're school teachers, they're your kids that want to buy a house.
Yeah. Town employees.
Our tradesmen who have to drive in an hour from somewhere else to work on our project. So that's just a suggestion for a goal. And
I think that's great, yeah.
And maybe just starting with a presentation so we kind of get our minds around it, then maybe both the county staff and us DPRC members can bring some ideas to the table on what things we might actually want to do.
So you looked at other cities like Anaheim or Anaheim, they're showing the same issues.
Yeah, I don't think any city in Orange County has ever hit their housing requirements, sure. Ever. I don't know if any city in California has hit it. Some of them are really close, but that's a huge issue that no city in Orange County has ever hit their numbers. That we keep deferring, basically, saying we'll do it later.
And that's with fairly low, maybe conservative goals.
Yeah.
You know, Governor Newsom comes in and says he wants to build 3.5 million homes.
Yeah, that's still the deficit. Yeah. Like, it's only been growing. We haven't even been hitting our numbers to even keep up with the population growth.
So are we
going to help with it?
No.
The closest part, the biggest.
No, I think great. LA, I think that's. So, I think that's the crunch for sure. What we're going to be all dealing with in 2019. And we're already feeling that at the end of the year, basically the last 6 months of the year slowed down for one reason. That's because interest rates started hiking, and what we experienced were primarily building in the Inland Empire. It simply pushed those people that were kind of on the cusp. You know, a 1% increase in interest rates just pumped them out. You know, they sit there, they sign a contract, and within that period of time we're building the home, interest rates climb and they're no longer able to afford the payment on the house. So
maybe February or March?
Yeah. I think it'd be great.
So that's one goal.
We're jumping into goals, Colby. Any other ideas for goals? I'm going to rely maybe on Joe.
You mentioned the building code.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
And goals to adopt them?
Adopt and strategize on how we're going to
hit them before January 1st. Yeah.
Joe, does that include the energy code? The energy part of it?
Yes.
And requirements.
Mm-hmm. What's the issue? Just reviewing. Understand the requirements so we can prepare.
This is a big leap in the energy, a gigantic leap in the energy code.
Yeah, we will probably have some review of the most critical changes on those, especially energy and solar requirements.
How do you think you're going to have some of your workshops that you've had in the past?
Well, once that indicated last time, once the state adopted, they would have some published their codes, then we could get into it and come up with some kind of short
this so.
That would probably be like third quarter.
September, October.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Along the same line, OC Infrastructure has been working on updating the local drainage manual that affects design of storm drains in communities or subdivisions. I don't know when they're going to be completed. I believe they've been using a consultant to do that. But they've been working on it for quite a while. I have not been involved in that directly. So that would be something we could ask them to make a presentation of what the differences are, because potentially there could be things that would affect infrastructure costs.
Give us plenty of time to review that.
Time to review it, yeah. So that's not a match for like the last one.
It's been a while since we've talked to survey. Are there any issues that worth targeting for survey, or kind of looking at the engineers at the table?
Not very good survey.
There's some long delays on record of survey, I think, but I don't know if that's still occurring or not.
How are they kind of looping into LMS?
The whole process. The whole workflow, the process, and app is all built into it.
Okay.
Right, there are various applications in it.
Yeah, like address and requests, everything. So address, pretty much everything that's under fee schedule is in LMS. So we have all that services.
Great. I was going to say, are there any other building issues, permitting issues, anything that you're seeing on your side that
as far as changes or the current one?
Anything current or that we need to
evaluate? Well, current one, as I indicated, because of transition from apps, closing down apps, and transition to LMS, there's a period of existing plans submitted under apps, which we don't have available, but we somehow have to do manually, so that may track timing a little bit. That would affect the timelines.
Yeah.
That kind of dovetails with what I was going to ask you. Maybe one of our goals, obviously for 2018, the big goal was to get LMS running, and that will be soon. Just kind of an obvious goal is to maybe after a month or two to just have DPRC members and staff report back on how it's going. And I think it's inevitable that there will be like adjustments ongoing. So just all throughout the year, maybe, but especially early on.
I think we'll report on it every month. Every month we'll be talking about it.
Yeah, we're putting together a governance group anyways on internal, because we already have a whole list of post go live items. But we obviously will want to feedback in.
I'm a no-brainer, but I just thought to bring up.
Yeah.
No, going back real quick to the housing deal, I don't think I recall that we've ever had Julia Bidwell or anybody from Housing and Community Development come to DPRC. And
I agree.
When we talk about affordable housing, isn't that kind of where the action
is? Yeah, absolutely. That's the partner.
So maybe we, if we have a day that we talk about this issue, invite her and she can
share an update on that. Maybe you could do your presentation and she could talk at the same time.
Okay. Well, there was an article in the paper yesterday or the day before about a veteran housing project by Jamboree.
Oh.
And it was related to veteran and veteran homelessness. I'm not sure all the details, but they were talking about projects that Jamboree does in the county and around the area. You know, that's a model for somebody that's doing it, and we could probably learn from that. I don't know if that's in a city or
Cincinnati. We've done one 2 years ago in Midway City, Potter's Lane, 16 units for veterans housing. So
it's a brand new one.
Yeah. Brand new one. Just
are you working on that?
That's great.
That is American.
Where is that located?
Yeah. I don't know, across streets.
No.
City.
Santa Ana.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. We might have money in the gym.
There's also a new one in
Westminster
where they reduced the parking because so many, you know, of the people that live in those facilities don't drive, so they're able to take out the council and reduce the parking stuff too.
I volunteered for the Illumination Foundation at the end of the year, and they had presented to us the temporary housing, the long-term temporary housing that's being proposed. That's the, I can't remember the name of the housing, but it was an architect who designed it in the Amazon, and these homes can be built in 48 hours. It's like a prefabricated. Yeah, it's made out of some sort of polyethylene or something. It's kind of, it's fascinating.
Computer printed or something?
Yeah, it just got approved in the city of Anaheim. And they're building like 200 units. It's pretty fascinating. They originally designed it in the Amazon so they could be floating houses because the floods come through so quick. And so
it's a boat.
It's pretty fascinating, though. It just got approved in Anaheim. Not exactly sure where they're building it, but it just got approved. I want to say the second week of December.
What do you call it?
I have to look it up. I can't remember off the top of my head.
You know, it doesn't seem like it's the structure that is usually the problem. If there's prefab and stuff you order, all across the country, you have a ship. It's always the land and infrastructure connected it and all that stuff around that that is the hardest.
Yeah.
People are making housing out of old metal shipping containers.
Yeah.
No, we did that.
Didn't they run into a problem that lead paint was found?
No.
That was LA.
I'll
think that was ours.
It got delayed because of that on one of the projects.
Yeah. Not this one.
Maybe we could get somebody from either January or the city of St. Anna to talk to us about that.
I made a note on that to follow up.
Mine some ideas from them.
Mm-hmm. And Julian may be familiar with a lot of that too. So maybe we could check to see if she's available at either the February or March meeting. That would determine when we talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah, we have in March, April, we take our annual housing report to the board. And so, and we work with Julia in the coordinator's office on that type of stuff. So maybe March is the right time for that.
Okay.
So from the county side, Colby, do you have any goals? I found it interesting when Shane was presenting and highlighted the fact that we have new supervisors coming in and there's anything from the county side to start preparing for that, or we just kind of wait and see what the focus is going to be? Are there any special initiatives from anyone, like the tree initiative or anything like that that's floating out there? That
well, it's too early to know some of that stuff, but I know that we had the first meet and greet with 4th District. That all happened at the board yesterday. And I think there's a lot of likability there. It seems to be a very reasonable, personable person that's been around for such a long time and not a stranger to city government and Freeman County government. So I think that supervisor coming in will be a great fit for the board. The horse race in the 3rd will be interesting because some candidates already have a lot of, name recognition because they were either running for another seat and stuff. So, but I expect that to be intense. FCA has a meeting that comes up every March.
Yeah.
Their one annual meeting for Foothill Community Association, where they normally have, 500 people or 200 to 500 people in one of the gymnasiums and things like that. We go every year and present. And normally Spitzer is a keynote. He could be the keynote as in the DA seat this year, but I don't know if they're going to try to get something else with the other, with the candidates there, and either invite them all or invite one, or I don't know, but that could be an interesting venue to see some of the candidates. And if they're not invited, I'm sure they'll go.
Anyway. How many candidates for the 3rd District?
There's 3.
Well, the filing period ends at the end of the month, so it could be more.
Yeah, it could be more. There's 3.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well-recognized
names.
So far, yeah.
Right. No, Joe's not one of them. Well, not that I know.
He's still
a
big advisor.
But so no, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what anyone has in mind. Supervisor Bartlett and Supervisor Doe have a lot of, you know, ideas, if you want to put it that way. You know, with something, you know, things going forward, whether it's transportation related or whether it's, you know, something that may be development or density related or housing related. So they've been, you know, aware, you know, very aware of stuff that fits in development services in terms of policy and stuff like that. Those two are the leads.
Are there any changes on the consultant side? Are you guys still, contracts are still in place?
Yeah, contracts still in place.
Well, it's good that you say that because we do have to take this back to the board this year. They'll be exploring and we'll have to go back for renewal.
Okay.
So we've got a scheduled internal meeting. Sure
it should be pretty much just process,
yeah.
Matter of process and just checking.
But contracts won't change.
I don't say checking the box, but it's kind of process checking the box, just touching base back with the board.
Yeah, we just have to take it back. We aren't anticipating opening it up for anything. We just want to know it.
We don't see rates change or anything like that. One of the big goals for us in 2019 is rates. You know, our
fee schedule.
So after it was approved in 2015, you know, there's the requirement to come back for an audit perspective to evaluate, you know, how appropriate are the fees, how, you know, were there any problems, mistakes, confusions, are the ones that need to be adjusted, added, deleted, whatever. And so we're going to do that with TAMBU and stuff like that in our office. That is our fee expert. And so that'll be as soon as we're going to get past our LMS project, and then we can get into the fee thing. But the fee study, but it is a 2019 objective for our development services.
Anything on the commercial side?
Jumping out and closeout procedures and just getting the bond releases, probably the biggest thing I struggle with each time on every project, but the system works, you just gotta hit every box, so. Nothing jumps out with a specific goal, do you know what I mean?
I don't know if this is a, oh go ahead, I'm
sorry. I was just thinking, you know, the commercial side of the code update as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is a proper item, but I'm a little curious how the change from level of service for transportation to the new, I don't know, distance travel, whatever the new thing is, if that's really working, or what the, if anybody understands that, because with all this potential new density going everywhere, we're looking at gridlock in Orange County, in my opinion, if it really happens. I just think, I don't know how effective the new criteria is.
Well, I think the vehicle miles traveled, I mean, isn't that the foreseen future here? Yeah, you know what I mean, but I mean, I think that has a lot of roots. And
I think it, yeah. Everyone's kind of going that way now, is to be VMTs.
You don't have a choice, do you? Isn't that
we don't, California doesn't, but a lot of other states are already going that way too. So it's very.
You know, talking about density increases in traffic, Rick, I remember hearing what you said all along through the decades that Irvine has been intensifying density along the Jamboree Corridor.
Mm-hmm.
It still works. I mean, it's...
Well, it's great if it works. I just don't want to...
10 o'clock on Friday's a little tough.
Because you're trying to get, you know, with the new technology and vehicles, cost out whatever taxes you need to over those that don't buy fuel. Yeah.
Well, it'd be one thing if we had truly transportation the way like the East Coast has.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But we don't.
Yeah.
You have cars.
Yeah.
I thought it's worked three times since I moved But it won't be built until I'm traveling.
I think the high speed train is the Mannheim train.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was surprised that when Shane gave his kind of state of OC Public Works at our Christmas breakfast, that he mentioned that
OC Public Works is going to go from the problem of not having enough funds for infrastructure, especially traffic-related issues, to now with the state funds being cut loose. Now it's going to be a year of trying to spend that money, and so that's great. And so I guess there's two asks in terms of goals this year for the DPRC. One is there anything that we can do as a committee to help with that strategy and how to do that? Probably not, but just offer it. And then the other thing that just comes up as maybe a concern is that some of the people that might normally be working on our projects might be pulled off of that.
That's right.
Working on things to spend that money.
Yep. We'll be in competition with you getting the right engineers.
It's interesting.
And building.
In San Bernardino County, and they lost about half their employees to Caltrans.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just up and left and went to Caltrans.
Wow.
Just because there are tons of positions available.
So I don't know how that translates into what we do with this year as a committee together, but just maybe something to put on the goals of how we deal with that. That's a different dynamic.
That's a good point.
Well, and it's also county staff, I would imagine. You know,
the
people that might normally be responding to our projects.
So for government doing the CIP project for infrastructure stuff, it is always challenging when the economy is good and the private sector is humming. It is really hard for us to get. To get a schedule that a company can perform to, because we'll have a longer schedule because they have a lot of work in the private sector type of thing, and then the team that's going to be the design team for whatever project it is, it's hard to get. I hate to say the A team or the B team or whatever, but we usually don't get the pick of the litter. So whoever you guys are training all the time is usually what government gets, and then all the A teams go to all the private developers because they always have to perform and they have different just measures, measures to meet. Business standards to me, so it's understandable. So, but that's just it does happen. I've seen it. So and I guess I'm saying that usually you guys win in those battles, and we do our best.
Yeah, I think we're kind of in an interesting time where we, because of the slowdown last year, I think there's a little bit of apprehension on. Not Lennar, they're gobbling everything up out there. They're making it hard to compete. But, sorry, Crystal, I had to take a little jab. We're definitely being a little more apprehensive on projects and where we're moving forward, and we're being more selective on the projects that we're choosing to move forward with. I don't think anyone believes that we're heading into a downward, although you can read articles, but I think most people feel like things, once we get into the sales season after the Super Bowl, we'll do just fine. But I think there's still some apprehension out there. So what you're bringing up has always been historical. I just don't know if that's going to happen. No one's really knows.
It's, I know. Things are different.
Yeah.
Ever since the 07 and 08 and all that type of stuff, it's hard to see how the next ups and downs really actually go.
I see a lot of people starting consulting firms. Instead of going to work for a builder, I see them say, well, okay, I'm going to go start my own consulting firm and specialize in certain tasks. But we're in a kind of interesting time. It will be interesting to see how the trend works over the next 6 months. So with that, what I'll do is I'll send out just a quick list, like bullet points. And then what I'll do is I'll ask everyone for feedback. And if they have any other ideas, and Jay, if you wouldn't mind adding this to your matrix after we get that feedback, maybe I'll cut it off just do a week, and after that week, if we haven't received any feedback, we'll go with the items that we have, and you and I can kind of correspond, but I'd appreciate it if you could kind of use your same format.
Glad to.
Yep. Okay. You guys have any other updates? I have to get out of here at 9:30, so.
Yeah, well, we have a new staff person who was whispering over to me. So since Supervisor Nelson is exiting stage right, we did some recruitments, not because of that, but we were already recruiting for an engineer to lead our development support team. So Dennis Bilodeau, who's the former chief of staff with Supervisor Nelson, he's leading that, and he's up on the seventh floor here as of, I don't know, yesterday or whatever.
Traffic engineer. Yeah. Who left?
Dennis Bilodeau.
So Dennis Bilodeau is hired here as one of our engineers as an M2, and you work for Supervisor Nelson, right?
Nobody left, just.
I thought you said somebody exited stage right.
Yeah, that was Supervisor Nelson.
Oh, got it. So Dennis is where?
Traffic. Is that what?
He was where, right? Remember when Maruse left the permitting and went upstairs and went to run that little engineering team that supports BB's effort in line development? He's running that team and also some general traffic engineering too.
So Jeff was in there temporarily, but it was always kind of interim.
Yeah. Oh, and who else was there?
Maruse.
Not Maruse, but before Maruse.
Before him was
James. So James Taylor.
James.
Tyler. Bunch of rock stars.
Colby, do you guys have a new bar chart that you can distribute?
Yeah.
That'd be great. Yeah, Mike had mentioned that. I'm going to draft a letter to the board, just kind of giving an update of what our plans are. I'll distribute that Friday, and then let everyone comment on that, and then once everyone approves, I'll send that letter out.
Mike Cooperrow suggested last time. Hi, Mike. This is Jay.
Hi.
You suggested at our Christmas breakfast something I think we should talk about as a goal for us individually as DPRC members. Mike, didn't you say something? I'll let you kind of fill in the blanks. Did you suggest that we each individually send a letter to our supervisors?
Well, that was my suggestion. Supervisor Doe asked all his appointees to write a letter as to how things are going. But just as a friendly suggestion, I thought it's good for you guys to stay in front of your supervisor, and you could send them a letter. I've prepared my letter, and it's going out today, so I can share that with you guys. It takes some of the language from the letter that I wrote when I was chair, 11 years ago in 2008. So you can use that if you want. I made some personal suggestions of how I thought the process could be improved. One of them is providing the little guy more of a roadmap as to how his or her project gets approved, and the other is facilitating communication between, for example, public works and parks when a project implicates more than one department's interests. So those are kind of my little personal things that I think can help. But I think it'd be good if all of us kind of gave it a little bit of thought. You can use my letter as a template if you'd like.
It'd be great if you could distribute that
we're
to us. So we can copy with yours and Jim's. It gives us all kind of a template.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're going to have to say to whom it may concern.
You're going to send anyone to the chairman on behalf of the committee?
Yes.
Ricky got to send one to all the candidates.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, Crystal. Yeah, that because we have multiple people in each district, we want to make sure it doesn't seem the same letter. Like it's the same form letter that we're sending.
Come up with
maybe just both sign one letter.
Right, one letter from each.
Yeah.
Two.
That's actually a great idea.
So one last thing would be, if it wasn't mentioned earlier, is that our go-live date for the LMS is Tuesday after Martin Luther King Day.
Is that the 22nd?
Yeah, the 22nd. And that would be a 7, 8 o'clock in the morning type thing. And to where we would actually flip our switch like we did for CRM when that went live. And so that would be our ribbon cutting for it. we still, even though it's, we feel that it's absolutely going to happen, that's the day we're going to go live, there's still some things that it needs, you know, that need to pass to maintain a green light. So, but we will anticipate having a little ribbon cutting ceremony to turn the system on. And this is where we talked about, you know, Mike Recupero and Honor of and things like that. If you recall, but that might have been a year ago.
What's that? Dave, Mike's dad?
Yeah. And so we're going to talk as a team here to get that going, but I just want to make sure that everyone here is aware that we still intend to do that, and we will have a device to make it formal and all that type of stuff. And if for some reason between now and then the green light gets pulled and it has to be delayed 2 weeks, then that just happens because, you know, the system's got to work right.
But I also want to, Phoebe kind of mentioned, she's going to give you a little bit of a highlight, so that's all important, you know, we're going live, but there's also for your inspection requests and everything, we're going to be turning off the IVR by 5 p.m. on that Thursday night. And we are all going to be running our businesses manually. So the things like we highlighted just briefly is that, you know, we probably will not be issuing permits on that Friday. So plan ahead. If you've got something in plan check, I would suggest, you know, our teams are going to try to get those things out before the Thursday. So if you have something due on that Monday, you know, it's obviously, or Tuesday, Wednesday, it might be Wednesday, Thursday. So just keep those things in mind. And like I said, we're going to be running manually on Thursday.
Is that information posted up here?
It's on our website. Yeah. So we haven't posted that we're running manually on Friday yet, but we're working on some language with our PO's office about limited services on Friday. So just to, you know, as part of the maintenance. The IVR will be updated to kind of redirect you to our customer service line. So because you won't be available to request inspections over the weekend. But we will probably be transcribing, kind of joke, because that's what I did at one of my first jobs a million years ago. It was actually manually transcribed, so it's kind of funny how you go backwards to go forward a little bit. But and then these flyers, we do encourage everybody to make sure you get your accounts created. The caveat is to make sure, if you can, that your first name, last name, and email is the same as something that you've provided us with your emails and apps. So I'm sure that's one of the topics people are going through on her builder call. So work with us and our teams, all of our teams, to if you have a question, because what we're hoping is that when you create your account, first name, last name, and email are the same, it'll sync up with your permit. We haven't been able to test that yet because it's something that we have to do on like a production environment. So that is our goal, and then all of our teams will be available to help connect that thing so you have access to your existing application. And then just in case, we've given you a little business card with our, because the MyOC services is live right now. That too will also be down over the weekend. So if you're going to report a pothole or something, do it before Wednesday or Thursday. So all of our services will be down over that weekend. So we're
communicating this with the customers that come to the counter, and the customers and inspectors go see out in the field and things like that. So as much as we can.
And Joe and I and others have been testing, and we got an account for that. Is that just seamless to go into the new LMS, or do we have to reapply for an account?
I would suggest you just create a new account here, because those are all test accounts. So I wouldn't bank on that. So if you go to, yeah, it's got three steps. If you go to My OCE Services, because that's our live system right now, so if you get your account there, then when we turn it on, we can connect it. That's probably the better way, because the test accounts are
going to
be blown away.
Just a suggestion,
Jim. What's that? I didn't hear that.
All of your
assistant LMS transition, yeah.
That's
kind of the main topic of our
process. That's right. Yes, is kind of leading with us to get that. You know, they're going to be the first people we're going to try it out with. We just haven't. We can't even do it yet ourselves. So worst case is it's a soft thing, you know, as soon as you go. The thing is that you should be able to request your inspections whether you have your account linked or not, because anybody can request an inspection. So we feel like that's the largest service. Our building plan checks, while they're important, we have a little more time because you have like 10 days, 5 days, you know, to get something done. with inspections, we made that open to anybody. So if you have the permit number, you can still request an inspection. The linkage, our team will be available to help after going to.
Have you determined what cities might be get involved in using this system, or is that still a question?
That's just open to the cities. It's not easy to do stuff like that because everyone's, it's just so standard that everyone does their own thing. And we've talked to like Newport Beach, but they're going to get their own system. And I saw what they were doing last time, a few months back. So they're likely going to go with their own system. But Los Alamitos, a small city like that, is something that will look in our direction. And even organizations like OCFA, they'll look in our direction too, because you know they'll need to go build out something different. But like Newport Beach would, Irvine, you know, they're going to do their own deals.
Just try Stanton.
Pardon me?
Try Stanton too. Maybe they would.
Bill Barr, those types of things. They should, you know, there's an opportunity here too for people to share and costs and have some efficiencies and stuff like that, especially for a smaller city.
And we are going to try to do like, I'm sure maybe we'll coordinate, but with the builders, we'll have like some sort of a workshop. I know from just the general sense, we're going to want to do some workshops on once we get it up and running, help people help themselves. And there's like three videos we're trying to get put online that how to apply to the permit, how to request an inspection, and how to create an account. So those are our three main ones that we hope to have for Go Live.
That's
about it. I can give a zoning code update. I know Rick was interested. So we're actually going back to the planning commission again today for another workshop and also a hearing. We're updating some of our flood code because of FEMA updates. So we're not doing anything beyond what FEMA is requiring us to do. So we're just making sure our code is consistent with the FEMA standards. So they released new standards, I think, in September. So we're just updating the code for that. That will go separately from our zoning code and then get reincorporated back into our zoning code.
Can you send me those, what it is that FEMA's?
I'll send you the language. It was led by Penny Liu up in Flood. So they made all the changes and coordinated with FEMA. So FEMA's reviewed it and they approved it already as a tentative approval for us.
Is this based on their new open ocean flooding study or something different?
I don't
think
so, because the changes to our zoning code are really minor. They only changed like 10 words in it. But we have to do it within a certain deadline. I think the deadline is February.
And was this the 1 foot, 2 foot foundation thing? Or?
No, they didn't go with that. So they're going with something else. Like it's just the bare minimum that we have to do. That's what we're going with
maybe
right
it's
now.
It's just
flows. Yeah. So we're going today. We're also doing a progress report. So there's a few new items that popped up since we did our public comments. There's a small cell wireless ordinance from the federal government that's going through now. So we're waiting for County Council to help update that code. So we're just going to adopt the federal ordinance now. That's going to change how we view our wireless stuff. Basically, small cells for your 5G stuff, it kind of go anywhere, and it changes what we're allowed to do and shot clocks. So that'll be our biggest piece before we finally go back to the Planning Commission. We want to make sure that that's in our code before we finalize that. We did do a small change to our plan development section. So right now, plan development is only allowed in certain zones. I think it's from R3 and R4 and R2s. But then we just expanded it to R1 and all the E's too. So now allow opportunity for every residential zone to take advantage of a PD development. And it still requires a plan commission. It's always required plan commission approval. But now we're expanding it to all zones. So we thought that would be helpful as one of our housing goals to increase more opportunities for people to build.
More opportunities for density also.
So it's still the same density requirement. So it just allows them to do a PD development instead of increasing density. But density is what we're holding on to if we have to later. That's our next big update.
Planning on bringing the flood and FEMA changes here for our review.
I'll talk to Penny, but she's basically just adopting the federal code. So there's no choice for us right now.
Tell us what it
is. Yeah.
I remember some of the proposals she had a while ago. I found some of them objectionable. I just want to make sure they didn't accidentally get left in.
Yeah, when I talked to her, she said they didn't go with that. They're just going with the bare bones.
I was saying they went with that.
So Richard, is there a chance that the Planning Commission today would send the zoning code out of the board, or you're saying that there certainly will be other?
They're only going to send the flood ordinance because there's a mandatory deadline from the federal government. But everything else is a workshop. So the only action they have today is the flood part. Everything else will just be workshop updates.
When do you think it'll finally get adopted?
So we're waiting for the wireless stuff. So we're hoping March, the county council can update all the federal government guidelines. So hopefully it goes in March. It could be one or two commission hearings before they get to the board. When it gets to the board, it could be one or two also, depending on how they want to view it. So we're still strategizing how we want to present it to them.
I have things settled down on the two big issues seem to have been the Airbnb and the tree ordinance. So both of those have settled down.
The tree ordinance settled down because it's only in certain areas of the canyon now. The Airbnbs are still really hot. The Anaheim residents really hate it, and they're going to be showing up in force. So we'll be presenting multiple options for the planning commission to decide on. Another issue that just popped up is RV parking, which came out of nowhere. So the North Tustin residents sent us a letter saying they don't want any RVs to be parked in any driveway now. It's not a zoning code issue. It's in our property maintenance code, which is outside the zoning code. But they're getting riled up on RVs being parked now, which will be hard because that code is for countywide. So there's a lot of RVs in the canyons and other neighborhoods that don't know that Nate Tustin is wanting to restrict them on. So that'll be another issue.
How far down is the threshold of what's an RV? You know, there's controversy in some communities about this new Mercedes Sprinter van because of the height.
So we just consider it has to be a registered vehicle. So as long as it's a vehicle that can drive on a road, it can park in your driveway,
right,
as long as it fits. So that's the way our code is written. They want to restrict that those types that are too big. Right now, we consider a vehicle. If it's registered, it's operational, you can drive it, you can park it.
An 18-wheeler?
So that goes into that. So there's a special exception for that. So for like commercial trucks, there's an exception for that. Recreational vehicles is considered a normal vehicle.
It's a commercial truck, though. I have a neighbor who's a contractor. So he might have commercial plates on his pickup truck.
Technically,
the guy across the street's got the same pickup truck, but
yeah,
it's privately owned. So
technically, if you were like with the wording of the code, you're not allowed to park a commercial vehicle outside. It has to be parked inside. So if they can't park that vehicle inside their garage, technically they're not allowed to park. That's the county code. I don't know if it's in the city code.
It's a company truck, pickup truck.
Yeah, because we have people that park bigger trucks that are construction trucks. But it's still, they can still drive everywhere, but we get a lot of complaints about that. Especially in like the Anaheim areas and the canyons, a lot of people will park these big trucks, and technically the code doesn't allow you to park commercial vehicles. Private vehicles are fine. So.
Interesting. Your job's fine.
Yeah. That's everything.
Yeah, it covers it all.
Yeah. That's it.
Is there anything else?
All that in my neighborhood.
Anybody else? Anybody?
Nope.
Go. Kobe, anything else? Final words?
No.
All right, we'll close the meeting because we lost the chair.